Hallelujah. And what I want to teach today will touch every age strata. What I want to teach today is very, very important. And the earlier you hear it in your life, the better for you. Actually, it was part of what I was supposed to teach during the greatness series. Please, were you blessed by that teaching on greatness throughout the month of July? Very, very important teaching. Very, very important. Today, I want to teach on what I've titled Betting Transitions. Glory. Betting Transitions. All of you, you need what I'm saying. And the subtopic is stepping into new seasons of greatness. How to step into new seasons of greatness. I want to start with by answering this question. What is a transition? It's a very simple definition. A transition is a period in time when we move from one level to the next. From one level to the next level. When we move from one season to another. Lord, speak to us in the name of Jesus. And every one of us makes transitions daily. We are moving from day to day, year to year. Once upon a time, we're saying Happy New Year, right? Can you believe it? This is August. August 2025. Hey! We are making transitions. Are you with me? You left your house and came to this place. That's a transition. By this time tomorrow, the week is almost being over. That's transition. But you see, there are transitions that reshape our life. And you see, these ones are very necessary. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Can you see it on the screen? But the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Do you realize he did not say that shineth until the perfect day? That shineth more and more. Are you following this? That process when you move from that shineth more and more is called a transition. There must be a shining more and more in your life if you are truly on God's path of greatness. See, let me tell you something. I know I've taught this thing before, and I think I did that teaching some years ago, maybe 2 years ago. I called it discerning transitions, but this time around, I called it betting transitions for a reason. If you don't have transitions in your life, no matter how great your life is, see, no matter how wonderful, no matter how splendid, no matter how, are you with me? If you don't have transitions, no matter how great it is today, after a while, it'll be over. That's the way it's designed. See, you must keep on transiting. Are you with me? No, I will not do that. This is social media, so it's social media age. I will not do that. Do you know that when a child is 1 year old, a 1 year old baby, if a 1 year old baby comes, picks this mic and says, hello everybody, my name is Destiny, I am so and so, and he's talking fluently and preaches, do you know that everybody will be excited? Like, 1 year old, wow, you are preaching so powerfully. If that child comes at the age of 10 and does the same thing, it's not news. Are you with me? It's not news. Okay. What else? Are you with me? You should have, in everybody's mind, you should have transferred from that to something else. If by the age of 1, you were talking like that, by the age of 10, you should be doing something far bigger. Are you with me? But you see, some people, they just easily camp around something great that they just saw. Well, I've gone ahead of myself, but do you get the point?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes,
God believes in transitioning in greatness. See, it is the glory of God, that something began as nothing and then emerges to become a giant. It is the glory of God that, ha! We saw you when you were trying to buy material to sew one shirt. And then now you are exporting clothes to different nations. Are you with me? It's the glory of God. We all rejoice when you see someone, she had one small kiosk trying to sell rice and pepper and all of this. And then you meet her 3 years or 4 years from then or 5 years from then. And now she has a conglomerate of shops, different supermarkets here and there. Are you with me? It's called transition. It's the glory of God that something moved from being tiny to becoming great. And it is the sorrow of our hearts. See, you know how you feel when you see something, you know, Kai. Anytime I come to Port Harcourt, I have memories. There are some places that before I go towards, I think twice. Before I go towards Rumumasi and Elekaya, I think twice. There was a man. I went, the last time I was in Port Harcourt in April, I went there, the same thing. There was a man. His shop was like this. That shop, that same sewing machine, that man sold my primary school uniform. Eh? I went there early this year. That machine was still there. That man was still there. The same way he was sewing was still there. The shop was still there. The only difference was that he had become older. This is more than 20 years. Come and gone. The same shop, the same place, the same machine. Aye! You know, I was so pained in my heart. I couldn't look. I couldn't even look to greet. I pretended like my phone was ringing. I brought out my phone. Because where will I start from? There was a man that used to sell donuts in my primary school. Not my secondary school, primary school. We used to go out and buy donuts from him. I passed there, the same show glass, the same donuts he was selling. And he was playing draft. I was like, God. Are you with me? Matthew 13. It's painful when we see something remain small that way. After this service, you will step into your transition. Should I use Matthew 13? Let me start with Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. Amen. Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed. When it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. He says that when you see something that was tiny begin to grow and grow to the point where it now becomes a shade and a cover for many other people, you have seen a kingdom in display. You have seen the kingdom of God in display. Are you with me? If the kingdom is really working in your life, we are going to see that thing. You know, a man met me yesterday and he was telling me how he remembers when I started doing evangelism on these streets about 6 years ago, that he can remember. He says anytime he drives and passes around this place, he just pauses. He cannot just speed through. He parks the car a little bit and says, now, wow. He said it was this same guy that was preaching. Now, they are in Port Harcourt. They're in Lagos. They're in Abuja. They are, in fact, we saw the children church building and he's like, they are building. He said, he said, he was looking at me and said, God, in my mind, I felt like telling him, the way Jesus was talking to Philip and Nathaniel, he said, you shall see greater things than this. Oh, you think we have started? We have not started now. Oh, we have not started. We are doing rehearsal. Yes, by this time next week, we'll be in Ghana. Yes, we are doing rehearsal. And I'm happy that many of you, you will encounter that when you are very, you are still very young. Praise the Lord. The part of this thing that touched me is that so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. There is a way your life can become so great, eh? You are not just praying for, oh God, give me. You are the answer to people's problem. Ah, God. People will just say, Kai, what would my life has been if I did not encounter you? Somebody meets you like this and the person's life changes forever. In a short while, many of you will be sending many others to school. I said many of you will be sending many others to school. They lodge under the shadow of it. Thank you, Jesus. Job chapter 8 verse 7 says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Say after me, I greatly increase. I will not end this way. My latter end is great. Some of you are not talking. I will greatly increase. I will greatly increase. I'm trying to put in you what I can call my synesis, my mindset in the gospel of Christ, my revelation. Matthew 13 verse 31 says, and that parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is like a grain of the mustard seed. Okay, I've read this, right? Look, I jump to verse 33. Matthew 13 verse 33. It says, and that parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto living, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was living. I know the whole living may be confusing. He's talking about bread here. That when you take, have you seen yeast? Or have you seen bread that has not risen? It's very flat. By the time they put it into the oven and it comes out, you see the whole thing. You will see the way the bread will rise. You'll be wondering, was it that flat thing? He says, that explains something about the kingdom of God. My stepdad once had a bakery. I think he still runs the bakery. I went to the bakery one time. You see the bread flat. But by the time they put it into the oven and come out, it becomes so gigantic, they start slicing it. And when it comes out hot, there is nothing in this world compared to hot bread. Hot bread from the oven. You now understand why Jesus is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but with sardine and other things are dead. When they bring it out hot like that, Lakapa, don't be fast, you know. You have to slow down. But that mental picture affected me so much that something can be so flat. Let me tell you something. You may be looking at yourself right now that when you put your life, if they take you upside down and shake you, they vibrate you, maybe only 50K will come out. And if that 50K comes out, it's the finger of God. Maybe you've been looking at your life like that right now, that you look so flat and dry. When somebody says, Pastor, I'm not broke, I'm broken. Like, it's not zero. If you check all my account balance, it's minus because I've borrowed. But a time can come that same person will tell you, I have a property in New Jersey, I have a property here. You know, okay, I just built that one to just house people. I went to my village, I fed 8,000 people. That same person! I said, that will be your story. That same person. can say, oh, pastor, I heard that we have a project of 200 million. My account, I just sent 1 billion. That same person. That will be your story. Now, I'm not trying to make you materialistic. I'm just saying, see, and money is just a subset of greatness. If you remember my teaching on portraits, right? Discerning true greatness. So let me put down three things for you to hear and hear very well. Number one, without transitions, your life will never emerge into the fullness of God's plan for you. Because when God has a plan, what God is seeing is the final picture. But you must transit from one level to the next, from one level to the next, from one level to the next. Are you with me? For instance, when a young man sets out to become an engineer or become a doctor, if he stops at senior secondary level, SS3, that's the highest point of secondary school, but he has not begun his journey. Are you with me? If he stops at 200 level, that's great, but he will never become. Are you with me? You know those days in university, when you're in 500 level, I remember when they took us, when we got into 500 level, we were like, wow, we were in 500 level. The way we're walking on the campus as though we have a chip on our shoulder. So, excuse me, my name is David. I'm a mechanical engineering student of 500. Once you say that 500 level, it's like, ah, everybody just, all the younger students there, go outside, go to the industry and say I'm 500 level. They'll be like, okay, what are you doing here? You find out that what was the highest somewhere is the least somewhere else. What was the greatest somewhere is the least. Are you with me? So without transitions, your life will never emerge into the fullness of God's plan for you. Number two, without transitions, you will be celebrating the past when the cloud of God has moved into the future. You'll be celebrating the past when the cloud of God has moved. Many times, most people, they find out late what God was trying to do. Many times, some of the things you think that you are excited about, oh, this has happened. By the time you go to God's calendar and check what ought to have happened, you'll be wondering, are you serious? That's why I've learned, once God says move, I move. I move immediately. I move. Number three, without transition, your past can become a prison. And your good can become the enemy of great. Am I too fast? Let me start again. I said, without transitions, your life will never emerge into the fullness of God's plan for you. Without transitions, you will be celebrating the past when the cloud of God has moved into the future. Without transitions, your past can become a prison. And good can become the enemy of great. Let me tell you something. Maybe I didn't write this down, but let me say it now. In every area of your life, there must be transition. In your walk with God, you must transit. In your finances, you must transit. Are you with me? In your, what you can call your marital life, you must transit. In your career, you must transit. I've heard people say things like, I left that company because I did not see a future there. Not because they were not earning well, but because they saw the way they were going. When you stop at 250K per month, that's where you will be till the Lord cometh. They saw there is nothing higher than that. As great as earning 200,000 a month is, they saw that, they don't have a career path. You will see people say things like, I'm not growing there. I don't see myself growing. You know, something happened when we moved into our new venue. One of the first things that dawned on me is that everything that we had in the previous venue that looked big, everything became tiny. From the population to the equipment, everything. As we entered the venue like this, it looked like it was a toy. I said, Jesus. In the previous venue, 100 people show like this. The whole place is filled up. My God. See the crowd. Now, where we are can sit 500. When you say, praise the Lord. After the 100 people, the extra will tell you, will they come? my mentor called me and he was like, how do you feel? He says, number one, I'm sure you see that everything now looks small. He said, yes. He said, that's part of growth. He says, that thing you are feeling is trying to tell you that what you are celebrating is no longer worth celebrating. Are you with me? Micah chapter 2 verse 10 says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Tell somebody that if you arise and depart, this is not your rest. For instance, even in Port Harcourt Church, I know there are more people that belong to this church than what gathers on Sunday. I see your Sunday pictures. I know a lot of people show up on Sunday now. The church looks filled up, but more, there are more. Are you with me? Yes, Pastor, very soon, we have to have 2 services. Then 3 services. Yes. Then overflow. Say after me, it's possible. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. He says, because it is polluted, and it shall destroy you, even with the sword destruction. Wow! That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Now, I want to also say, everything makes transitions. God makes transitions. Of course, God is the unchanging God, but his programs and his operations per time changes. The way he moves in a certain generation changes. Are you with me? And so, one of the things you must have is that flexibility to be able to say, okay, this is the direction God is taking me. I will follow it. This is the direction God is moving in my life. I will follow it. Some of you, even you moving to New Breed was God's transition for your life. I'm telling you, you know, the thing about transition is that when God moves you here, at a point you'll be asking yourself, where have I been? Where have I been? The painful part is God has even moved far before some people catch. That, hey, is that why I was? Oh, so that was why God did what he did. I pray for you, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are opened. Everything makes transitions. God, countries, businesses, individuals. You know, I read about, I won't call the business, this is social media age. When all phone producing companies started moving into touch screen, they were still producing buttons. They were still producing buttons. Phone that had buttons. You know, there was a time that if the best phone to use was BlackBerry, don't find trouble. Like BlackBerry. A time came when it had to be pure screen, no button, or it was just 2 buttons. Then at some point, complete. Now, if you are producing a phone with buttons, they'll ask you, hello, what's the problem? In fact, one of those companies had their MD fired because of that. Nokia. Their CEO was fired because they're like, move on. Transit. Now, it is important. Okay, there was something I was supposed to read before that. So, even though God makes transitions, countries make transitions, businesses make transitions, the most important transition is the one you make individually. The most important transition is the one you make. Because no matter the transition made outside, it is you that will decide whether you are lying or not. It is you that will decide. Have you ever heard a statement that says, God was in our midst and we knew not? See, God can be moving in your life, moving around your life. If you are not sensitive, you may find out after he has moved. For instance, even in ministry, people who were a new breed 5 years ago will can attest that new breed currently is not exactly the same new breed that we had. Are you with me? There were people that God brought that time, and God wanted them to latch on to the vision that time and become key players in the vision as at that time, but they didn't get it. It is when we are transcended and gone, and maybe even that phase, that, for instance, I don't know if I will ever be in Port Harcourt the same way I was in Port Harcourt 6 years ago. Do you get me? I don't know. That phase has moved. And such is life. Many times, in fact, let me tell you something. Every phase you are, make the best of it. Every phase you are, instead of trying to rush out of the phase, ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn here? What can I do here that beyond here, I will not have the opportunity to do again? What can I do now? Oh, you feel like you are stuck. You may not be stuck, oh. It may be God giving you time to say, we are tightening this one up. Clear this one up. Make this one possible right now. Are you following this? Praise the Lord. For instance, maybe you are a single sister here. Pray. Fast and pray. I'm telling you, pray. Now you have the opportunity. Pray, oh. Hey. Because by the time you marry, you take in the first one. You give birth. Before you are trying to catch yourself again, you are pregnant again. I speak in parables. Before you know what is happening, all the time you have, there's a single lady to be praying. Before you finish shouting, hey, Junior, sit down there. What are you doing? Oh yeah, wake up, it's time for school. Before you know what is happening, you cannot even remember the last time you were able to pray for 2 hours. You are a single sister. You know you have the call of God upon your life. Now is the time to pray. Read, open Bible, study, read. Read now. And this is why, when I began to understand this, I don't rush people in their process. I don't rush people out of their process. I don't rush people. Because sometimes, God knows what is coming in your future. He knows. For instance, a person like me, now I understand why God started me very early. Even now, sometimes I feel like I should have taken that season more serious. There was a time in my life, I will wake up in the morning, I will read my Bible and pray for 18 hours. I'm telling you. There was a time in my life like that. As early as SS1, SS2, I was casting out demons. At that point, people were asking me, this guy, what are you doing? Now I know, thank God. Thank God I started learning how to engage the spirit world early. The kind of things I'm facing now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Chim. Oh. Thank God I learned how to hear God early. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, no matter what transition is made around you, the most important transition is the one you make inside you. It's the one you decide to align with or not. And this is the crux of today's subject. See, because everything can be changing except you. Let me say that again. Everything can be changing except you. Have you met people that when you meet them, maybe like your primary school mates or your secondary school mates, when you meet them and talk, it's like, see, they are far from you. Who has had that experience before? You are talking to them. You are trying your best to connect with them, but it's like their way of thinking is so backward. Their way of reasoning is like, you feel like asking them, where are you? Who are you? Because if you don't change, everything else can change except you. You can get to a point where you wake up and discover that you are the only thing obsolete. Your mind is obsolete. Your thinking is obsolete. Your spirituality is obsolete. You are so big. You know, recently, this one is not even far. My youth service, I finished youth service in 2016, December. I met somebody that I served with. The guy was talking to me. I felt like, you still there here? Is this where you are? Spiritually and otherwise, this is where you are. This is where you are. Everything else can be transcended except you. I pray for you. Today will mark a change. Today will mark a shift. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes we can fight the change we desire unknowingly. We can be the ones fighting the change we desire. And that's why I use the term betting transitions. Betting transitions. Say after me, I will give birth to transitions. The same way a woman gives birth to a child and her life never remains the same. That's the same way you ought to give birth to new seasons in your life. New seasons of greatness. The same way a woman we take in and carry a baby for 9 months and give birth. As a person, you ought to give birth. As a Christian, you ought to give birth to new seasons. So after me, I will give birth to new seasons. I will give birth to new seasons. Hey, amen. You know, a woman can be pregnant for 9 months. Eh? If she gets to the point to give birth and there is a problem, everything that she can be carrying can be destroyed. You know that, right? If she does not manage that process of giving birth, the child can be lost. She can lose her life. It can be a stillbirth. She has to manage that season properly. There are many people pregnant with greatness, but when it came to giving birth, they lost it. There are many people pregnant with many great destinies. Many people pregnant with many great things. You see them growing up and you're like, wow, wow. You see the way they are going, wow, wow. For instance, I know spiritually now, new breed, we have entered a season. I know it that as we are turning 6 years old from September 1st, we have entered a new season. I know it. And nothing can cut us short. Oh. No, no, no. You know, today, I was talking with Pastor Wisdom. This morning, after the prayers, I was meditating and thinking about a lot of things. And the Lord began to say to me, he said, you know why you cannot give up? He said, there are too many generations waiting for you. And I'm like, wait, are you talking about the coming generations? The Lord was like, I know the coming generations are waiting. He said, but there are generations that were past. They are looking up to you to complete what they could not finish. Huh? And the Lord began to open my eyes to different, I can't mention some names. He said, if you know what is on you to fulfill, if you know how important, you know, some of you think your life is about you. You think, oh, it's just about me. You know, some people think that I can just misbehave. I can just do what I want to do. It's about me. No, there are too many people waiting, praying to God that God, please let this one not fail. Please, God, please. Some people, your breakthrough is the proof that God called them. For instance, when the Bible says Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, without Joseph, do you know that that generation would have died? It was Joseph that preserved the whole lineage. If not that Joseph was able to follow God's dealings and process and emerge in the land of Egypt, the whole generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would have finished. The famine would have finished them. And we would never have heard that God called Jacob. Or God called Abraham. Are you following what I'm saying? There are some of you. You can't afford to give up. No, you cannot afford to fail. You cannot just afford to say, my life will just be. No, no, no. Some of you, God called your parents. God had big things to do in your generation. You know, recently, I ran into one of my cousins and she was telling me something that shook me. She said, that she's not even surprised that I'm a pastor. That in our family lineage, that our grand uncle or somebody was telling her that Ogenerobo in those days, I'm talking about in the 1700s, they were the priests, meaning like people who served Satan. Many of them were the priests and they were the ones who decides who become the kings. because they had so much power. They were so deep in juju and darkness that they had to separate that family and say, these people, you are so powerful, you are the ones that will decide who will become kings. That it continued for so many years until it got to, our great-grandfather who met a missionary and became a Christian. And from then, they discovered that anybody who did not want to become a missionary also and serve Jesus would die a strange death. And so many of them became pastors and started preaching. And that's how they converted the whole village. I said, well, I understand. That's why it's on me to make people great. Do you understand? Yes, sir. There is a kingmaker anointing on me. Do you understand? It's part of my ancestry. Yes, when they are calling ancestral curses, my own is ancestral blessing. Praise the Lord. This afternoon, I will give birth. I will give birth to my transition. I will give birth to change. Amen. So what must I do to birth a transition? Number one, you must discern the times. You must discern the times. You must discern that it is time for a change. Many of you have felt it at different points in your life. Let me tell you something. This thing has no respect for age. Some of you, instead of feeling it's time for a change, I said when you were 8 years old. You knew that things could not just continue the way it was going. But some people, they played away that first one. So things went south and they still managed and went on. When they were 15, they began to feel it again. It's time for a change. They played it again. Then when they were 22, it came again. And God started thinking, how will I get this girl's attention? Some of them, he had to kick them into one campus fellowship. Some of them, he saw, okay. New breed. Start church there. Carry you, enter. Let your head be correct. Some people, they keep on missing those periodic seasons for change until they are 45. Did you hear what I said? He must descend. You know, the popular 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. It says, the children of Issachar, they had the understanding of the times. You know that popular scripture, right? And their brethren were at their commandment. Let me tell you something. If you get what I'm saying very well, if you understand this thing very well, what people are catching 10 years later, you saw it earlier on. You'll be far ahead. He says, and their brethren were at their commandment. Look at Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. Some theologians say he was building the ark for 60 years. Some say 120 years. But imagine, 120 years, or let's just say 60 years. Let's be modest. You are building one thing for 60 years and you are announcing, but it was falling on deaf ears. They were not hearing. Usually, whenever there is a transition, God will be trying to get your attention. But the problem is, who is listening? Oh, pastor, I cannot discern. I'm not so deep spiritually. No, you can discern. Some of you knew when things are changing. You just feel it like things are changing. Things are not the way they have been before. No, things are changing. Sometimes God will allow some things happen in a community to get your attention. All of a sudden, the government just announced, everybody, the 1,000 naira notes you are using has become obsolete. That's not something to ignore. It's something to tell you that everything is changing. Are you with me? Everything is changing. A shift is coming. God is trying to get your attention. Learn to discern. Can you tell anybody, learn to descend? I'll give you some keys. 4 signs to know that it's time for a new season. Number one, a strong burden to pray. Sometimes it comes like restlessness. This is different from being covetous and saying, you saw somebody's Jeep and saying, no, I want my own Jeep. Lord, how come the person who finished school from is driving Venza? And me, I'm still using Aru V11. Every 11 is your 2 legs. Sometimes restlessness. You get to a season, like, I don't know what's going on with me. A strong burden to pray. You wake up in the night, You are not yourself. You want to pray. You think it's just depression, but no, you watch movie, when you're with your friends, you're excited. When everybody goes, it drops again. Your heart is telling you, you have stayed on this mountain long enough. You have stayed here long enough. And whenever it comes, it's not too early. Start praying. Are you with me? A strong burden to pray. Number two, heightened demonic attack. When you look at your life, it's as if everything is fighting against you. You turn here, there is battle. You turn here, there is battle. You turn here, there is battle. Everywhere there is battle. That's a sign a new season is coming. A new season is coming. And usually, before that one, there is usually the first one. The first one is a strong burden to pray. When there is restlessness. The same things you celebrated before, you just come and like, no. There has to be more. Say after me, there has to be more. Say it again, there has to be more. Even in your Christian life, there's a time you just feel, I need to be praying more. I need to be praying more. Transitions, yeah. And sometimes, God even does it that your transitions in life matches your transitions in the spirit. I remember my final year in the university. The final semester. I remember where, I cannot forget, I was walking into Daniel Hall and I heard a voice in my spirit saying, it's time to be closer to God. That's how it came to me. It's time to be closer to God. So what I started doing is I will enter that room, my room, and pray for 4 hours every day. And one of those days I finished praying and somebody walked up to me and said, God told him that you're going to start a church and I'll be a member of your church. One said, you're my pastor. Like that. Not too long after that, should I even talk about this? I ran into Bishop Oedipo the second time. Laid hands on me again. When I was, he was, you know that thing with his people says John was baptizing. And when they met Jesus, the heavens opened. They prayed for me. And they were not just praying for me, they were praying for many other pastors, many pastors. So Bishop Oedipo prayed for me and I went to see them and all the pastors around where I was in and he said, I'm supposed to sow money to you. That's how one by one, this one come and give me money, someone come and give me money. So at the point, I was asking him, what happened? He said, you don't know. When Papa was praying for you, we saw something about you. There's something about you. There's something about you. After a season of praying for 4 hours almost every day, for almost 3 months. So number one, restlessness. And a strong burden to pray. Number two, strong demonic attack. And sometimes it even comes like distractions. You just feel like you are just distracted. Heightened distractions everywhere. Hallelujah. Number three. Strong leadings to sacrifice and to give. You have a pull in your spirit. Give. Just give. To make sacrifices. You have a pull to fast. You wake up in the morning, you want to eat, but something is just restraining you. Fast, fast. Are you with me? And number four, prophetic encounters. You run into people that will just give you spectacular word of knowledge. You run into men of God. Like I told you, Bishop Oedipo prayed for me. In fact, from that year, I just began to run into people like that. That's how I met Ben Hinn. Like that. I was just meeting. Amen. So number one, you descend. You descend. Strong burden to pray, strong demonic attacks, strong leadings to sacrifice and to give, and strong prophetic encounters. In fact, let me even say one. When God begins to point an area of your life that needs attention, it's also a sign of a transition. For instance, as a guy, so usually, when it comes to the issue of marriage, men are not the ones that are usually bothered. It's the ladies that, I'm 22, I'm not yet married. I'm 23, I'm 24. When will I get married? The guy, some guys, 22, they are still playing PlayStation. Playing FIFA. Playing FIFA. They don't care. But when as a guy, at a certain point, it becomes a concern to you. That, I need to get married though. see, go and start praying. Oh God, open my eye. And usually the woman is not far. That time the pressure is coming on you, the woman is not far. Hallelujah. Everywhere is quiet. Amen. Start praying. Because you need to pray. Satan can set knife for you as wife. Start praying. Oh God, open my eyes. When the burden is coming strong on you, oh God, open my eyes. The problem is, most men, they also play with that season too. You don't know when the Bible says, he that findeth a wife has found a good thing and has obtained favor from the Lord. It's not just the woman that needs favor. You need favor. You have to pray. Because if you don't pray well, you can just be rigmaroling. After she has agreed, before you know, something will happen. She says she's not doing again. That's how you can be doing. She's not doing again. She's not doing again. She's not doing again. Until you are 55. You don't know that people like that? At a point now, you have now made money. You are now a big man. Saying, now, which woman will I trust? Eh? Anyone that comes, they will come for my money. When you were kind of broke and still trusting God to put you together, and God was saying, see. You said, no, Lord. Let me explore more. Praise the Lord. Number two, how do you best transitions? Desperate prayers. See, even if you didn't get all the first things I said, you see this one? Desperate prayers. Desperate prayers. Isaiah 66 from verse 8. Isaiah 66 verse 8 says, who had heard such a thing, who had seen such things, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Are you seeing that? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. See, there must be times in your life where you have to pray and pray out your soul. Are you with me? And the earlier you do it, the better. The earlier you do it, the better. Some of you have never prayed till you cried before. Then you need to be crying that you have not cried. I'm serious. Look at Jesus. Let me read something. Luke 22 verse 41. Luke 22 verse 41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Look at verse 44. Can we read verse 44 again? 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, that voice needs strengthening. 1, 2, 3, go. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Verse 46, and he said unto them, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Do you know what this means? People say, it's not about prayer. Let me tell you, if you don't pray when you ought to pray, by the time you meet destiny, you'll be misbehaving. Lest ye fall into temptation. You will see people, they did not pray prior to the time of their change of season. So when change of season comes, the exact thing they should have done to take advantage of that season, they don't know. Are you with me? They act carelessly. Many times you need to pray ahead so that you don't make the mistakes at the verge of a transition. Mistakes that alter destinies. Number three, preparation. Say after me, preparation. You know the popular Luke 5, verse 37 to verse 38. He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. So, when you begin to sense it's time for a change, you have to start working on yourself to become a better version of you. Remember Morph, right? You have to start working on yourself, a different version of you. Train yourself. Start reading books in the line of where you are going to. Are you with me? Start getting better. Start preparing spiritually and physically. In fact, if you are really preparing it, even your talking will change. You will start talking about your future as though you are there. For instance, I know that before the Lord Jesus comes, Newbury will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. I know that in a short while from now, in every city, no hall will be able to contain all the people that are part of New Breed. I know it. I remember when we were four people in church and I would dress with suit and tie. I think that time my ties would be very, very strong, solid. I would like guy, it's not just four people. Okay, you want me to dress like four people? That's why it will remain four. No, I don't dress my present. I dress my future. I don't prepare. Are you with me? I don't prepare as though I'm just... For instance, I'm not preaching to you like I'm preaching to only you. I know that every time I carry the mic to preach and the camera is in front of me, I am talking to the world. I know it. I know it like I know my name, that I am set for all nations of the world. I know that Newbury is a global ministry. Are you with me? Yes, I am a global minister of the gospel. Yes, I know that God has sent me to all continents, all nations, all tribes, all races. Are you with me? Yes, some of you are talking. Are you not global people? Yes, the way you are answering me, are you not global people? Yes, I remember one time, Pastor Wana from Ghana said, Pastor, please, people are watching you from Ghana. Don't be speaking pidgin again. Sometimes when you speak the pidgin, they are confused. They don't know what you mean. I said, okay, I will not do it again. I've reduced since then. Amen. There are some prayers I reduced praying because I know people will follow me from different places. I stopped saying things like, the Egyptians you see today, you will not see anymore because there are people from Egypt watching me. Are you with me? Ancient Egypt and the Egypt today are not the same thing, but I don't know if they will get it. So I had to reduce saying the Egyptians. So you start preparing. You start preparing. That business, the way you are doing it, does it meet the global standard? Oh, I know you have not gone to school. How are you preparing yourself in such a way that even if you have not yet gone to school, when somebody hears you talk, they cannot even discern? Are you with me? You can begin to sharpen and prepare yourself to the point where you will attract the school to you. Leonardo da Vinci said, life has a way of making a pathway for those that know where they are going to. Praise the Lord. So you start preparing. You start talking. Let me tell you something. Even the declaration, even if you have not started preparing, if you start talking it, your talk will begin to influence you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you start talking, I'm going to have businesses in all countries of the world. After a while, it will start manifesting. You think all this war programming we are saying every Sunday is not having effect? All the resources we need for our new lands and new venue, they are being supplied. I remember the first day we moved into the venue in Abuja. When we got to that part, all the resources and money we need for the new venue is being supplied. Everybody just shouted glory because it looks like that thing you have been saying for 6 months has happened. And guess what? Thank God we said lands and new venues. So land is coming. Let me test you. See after me, I will lend to many nations and will not borrow. I will lend to nations and will not borrow. Now, close your eyes and imagine yourself talking to presidents. I am a global citizen. Some of you, imagine yourself preaching to different nations. I'm a global citizen.
I am doing big things for the kingdom of God. I want you to be saying what I'm saying while you see what I'm telling you to see. I am doing big things for the kingdom of God. Say with a loud voice, I am doing big things for the kingdom of God. I'm not convinced. I am doing big things for the kingdom of God. For instance, when I preach, you think I'm just seeing you? No, I see LED screens outside, the people sitting down watching. Are you with me? I have calculated that, where will our parking space be? We have to buy some land around here soon. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. Every time you talk like that, you are giving God something to work with. Jesus. I wrote something down. January 2024. I said, Lord, in a short while in Abuja, we are going to move to a venue that can seat nothing less than 200 people. Number one. Number two, there will be a church office space. There will be space for children's church. Now, I wrote something down. Kai, Holy Ghost. I wrote something and I wrote, there will be a mini studio in the premises. Do you know that we just realized that behind my office in our new venue, there is a studio. Like, the studio has been abandoned since. So, the owner it was when I was going through my tab, I like, yeah, almost 2 years ago, I wrote this thing. The owner of the studio is part of the facility owners. He has been trying to get us to come and also buy some things inside and begin to use the place. I'm like, the realm of the spirit, eh? God is waiting for you to talk. See, pretend in your life, can I tell you something? Pretend like there will be no limit and just begin to talk. You want to create your future. You want to step into it. Pretend like all things are possible. Because actually, in this Port Harcourt, you will see this same Port Harcourt that New Breed has one church. A time will come, we will have more than 200 churches. And all of them will contain more than 1,000 members. A time will come, when I come from Abuja to Port Harcourt, we will have to use the stadium. You better say amen, no? If not, you'll be carrying chair outside. So, you talk. You talk as though, you talk as though you and God are sitting down and creating the future. Because if you don't talk, Satan will talk. If you don't say something, the devil will say something. Some of you have to start telling yourself, I will go to school. I will finish. In the name of Jesus, I will work in big banks. I will be a consultant. You start picturing yourself in that line that God has said you will be. So you prepare physically and spiritually. As you are talking in the spirit, as you are praying and declaring, you are also working on yourself. You are working on yourself. I'm showing you how to bear transitions, right? And number four, begin stretching yourself by divine instruction. Start stretching yourself. Start stretching yourself to get things done. You must determine that all God has said you will become, you will become. Say after me, I determine. I will not fall by the wayside. Oh, Jesus. I said something yesterday, those of you that followed yesterday's service. I said, all of you that are saying, what's my life about? What's my life about? It is too early to start asking that kind of question. The life you're asking, what's my life about? You may not have even started it. I shared a testimony of a pastor who at 85 years old, God encountered him and told him, you have not started the next phase of your ministry. He was 85 years old. 85. God told him, it is time to start the next phase. He had been pastoring one church for 50 years. One church. He pastored one church for 50 years. There were about 15,000 members. And then, God now told him, when he wanted to retire, God appeared to him and told him, it's time to start again. He said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, start going from nation to nation and planting churches. Within the past 2 years, he has planted 50 churches. Between 85 and 87, he has planted 50 churches. Now, somebody is 35 years old. Somebody is 40. He said, what's my life about? The life that you are saying, what's my life about, has not even started.
Are you with me? So learn to start stretching. Start stretching yourself. God will tell you, do this. Some of the things we do, you think is easy? No, it's because God said we should do it and we are going to stretch. It must, certain it must be done. Say it, it must be done. I need more faith in this atmosphere. It must be done. It must be done. Certainly, there is no impossibility on my path. There is no impossibility for me. There is no impossibility for me. People think that if God says you do something, you will not face challenges. Sometimes you will fail, you start again, you will do it. Are you with me? Oh, God gave you an idea, you started the idea, they gave you a lot, they bounced your previous proposal. Start again! You will learn to talk like those four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. It says, why sit we still till we die? Why sit we still till we die? Are you with me? Why sit we still till we die? And then they stood up and said, you know what? If we stay here, hunger will kill us. If we go to the gates of Israel, they will catch us there and also kill us because the Syrians are in front of the gates. Let us go and die there. Not knowing that a prophetic word has been given that by this time tomorrow, you can read the story, 2 Kings chapter 7. God has given a prophetic word that by this time tomorrow, a measure of wheat will be sold for a very cheap amount. As they were going, God began to make their steps like the sound of a great army. And the Syrian army that encamped around Israel, see how they're looking at me? Hey, they know they read the Bible. Okay, let me calm down. Let me tell you the proper story. So what happened? The Syrian army came to fight Israel and they stayed around Israel. Those days, cities were built with walls. And so the army camped around Israel such that they wanted to starve the people inside to death before they come in and fight. It was an ancient strategy of war. So if they want to fight the city, they will block the city gates. Food cannot go in, food cannot come out. So that the people will be so starved that by the time they enter inside to fight, the people cannot fight back. Do you get that? And so that was what was happening. So the Syrian army came and put their camp in front of the gate of Israel. So nobody could enter, nobody could come out. And there was famine. So because of that, there was now famine in the land of Israel. So much famine that people were eating their children. Do you remember the story now? Am I connecting it for you? People began to eat their children. That's how strong the famine was. And then, Elisha came and prophesied. He says, by this time tomorrow, there shall be no famine any longer. Are you with me? And now, people were wondering, how would that happen? And then some lepers who were outside the gate said, you know what? We are also hungry here. We cannot enter the city and fight. We cannot enter the city and find food. If we stay here, we're also going to die. If we go to the front of of the gate of Israel, the Syrians are going to be there to also kill us. But they did not know that their steps was going to be a mechanism to facilitate prophecy. Are you with me? And as they were moving, God made their steps to sound like a mighty army. And the Syrians ran away, thinking that Israel had called for people to fight them, only for the lepers to come there and see food. All the food that the Syrians brought to keep for the war, they left it and ran away. And by the time the lepers entered inside, they told the people, everyone came out and collected food. My point here is, imagine the lepers were being told, move, and they stayed there. Sometimes, when God is moving you, you don't know the prophecy that has gone ahead of you. You don't know the word that God has spoken about you. Just move. Are you with me? You learn to stretch yourself. Say after me, I will stretch myself. You see this teaching, eh? It's a teaching for a long period of your life. I want you to go back, listen to it, meditate on it, and begin to break it down into actionable steps. Are you with me? Are you with me? For instance, let me give you some things we have been doing. When God asked me to begin the building of Children's Church, it was not the easiest of things to do. But I have learned that if you stretch yourself, after a while, what looks hard becomes easy. Are you with me?
And then see how far God has brought us. In the name of Jesus, before this year is done, it is completed. Amen. Like for instance, the project, the life recording project, the Lord asked me to do. I don't think anything has stretched me like that. In fact, that one is still stretching me. It's still stretching me like this. But let me tell you something here. Anytime you're not under a stretch, you may be failing. One of the ways you know that you are in the pathway of destiny, you must feel the stretch between where you are and where you ought to be. Something must be stretching you. If you're not feeling the stretch, like who will I demonstrate this thing with? Pastor, you will pull all of us down, but let's try. Today we will stretch you. Try and stretch him. So, imagine this is where you are. Imagine this is where you are. Okay, let's turn this way so that they will see us. Imagine, Pastor, leave his hand right now. Imagine this is where you are. Are you with me? And that's where you ought to be. That's what your destiny is demanding from you. Do you know that the way it is right now? Do you feel any pressure? Do you feel any pressure?
No.
Do you feel any stretch?
No stretch.
Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Your past is saying, stay here. Your future is saying, come. Your past is saying, stay here. Be comfortable. Stay in your comfort zone. Pastor, push him, push him, push him. Your future is saying, come. Are you following this? If you are not feeling this stretch, it means nothing is pulling you. Are you following me? Something must be pulling you. And let me tell you, when you don't feel the stretch, create one. Lord bless you. When you don't feel the stretch, create one. You say, okay, now that it looks like I'm just comfortable, we have started 3 days fast. If you fasted and hunger did not catch you, start again. Are you with me? Start again. Let God give you something that will make you run. Are you with me? In the few minutes we have, we're going to pray. Say after me in the name of Jesus. I bet the next phase of my life, wherever I've been behind, wherever I've been behind, as I pray right now, I am catapulted to the front. Wherever I've been behind, as I pray right now, I make progress forward. I make progress forward. I receive speed. I make progress forward. Begin to pray fervently right now.